Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And Jamie Jennings here from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, July 7th, 2011, episode 179, sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
I wasn't late with the music today. I was right on time.
Nice job. Well done.
I had my finger on the button. So was your day better yesterday? Did you get through it okay? No more windstorms, sandstorms, firestorms, or any other storms?
Well, you know, I believe that it's called a haboob. It's actually what those things are called. And that was, you know, it couldn't get much worse than coming home from being out of town and finding, you know, four of your little friend chickens gone and a big major haboob sandstorm rolling through your house and all the, you know, BS that went along with yesterday. So, or day before yesterday. So yesterday actually couldn't have gotten more downhill, you know. I guess it could have, but it actually turned out to be a very lovely day. As soon as we got done with the show, I went to therapy, which is the 1,200-pound warm blood out in my backyard. And, you know, I mean, I love riding Jet, my thoroughbred, and he's always a challenge. But, you know, I just needed to get on that nice, trusty horse. And there's a farm down the street that has a racetrack. And the two things included, which is riding my trusty warm blood that I've had since he was 3 and he's now 11, and galloping him on a racetrack, just pull the funk right out of you. You know, it's like I like to say, I ride my therapist every day. I do. And so that is what I did, and it was just a much better start to the day. A little bit toasty. We were both a little sweaty, but that's okay. It's good for you every now and then.
So was there a layer of dust over everything when you finally got outside yesterday morning?
Oh, my gosh. The thing is, then you open the door. We have French doors, and I open the door, and now I have leaves and dust in my foyer, in my living room. However, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm going to be dusting for forever. I mean, it's just nonstop. I mean, the dust was already bad, but when a storm like that rolls through, and again, I told you I just finished scrubbing the walls of the pool and scrubbing the stairs and everything. There is so much dirt in the bottom of my pool right now. It's not even funny. So
the only way you're going to get that out is to sweep it out, and that's going to take forever.
Well, that's what I swept it right before the storm. I was so mad. But it'll be fine. It's just one of those things where it, you know, it's hard to get out there and really work hard when it's 115 degrees. So I will get there eventually. But for now, we're going to have a little dust. A little sand is going to be covering everything for a minute. Not that I'm lazy. It's just overwhelming.
Is Chad ever allowed to go away again?
I feel so bad for him because he feels so bad. The fact that all of this has happened and he wasn't even here to, like, help me. I got to tell you, though, that, you know, Rebecca Klopping is a student of mine. And she also is a listener of ours and posts on Facebook. And she listened to the show yesterday and was like, oh, my gosh, you had such a bad day. She came over last night to give me a hug. Remember, I was like, I just.
Oh, yeah.
So her and her husband came over. He actually helped me work on some of the pieces in the barn that were not working correctly. He, like, brought his tools and just kind of helped out. And I seriously felt like a single mom, you know? Like, can somebody else's husband come over and help me, please?
Well, that was nice of Rebecca to do that.
Oh, I know. They're so nice. So they came over and hung out with me for a little while because, you know, it gets a little tedious when you're by yourself for this long, especially with, you know, all these 1,200-pound children and dogs
and
I've been bottled. Yeah, and the thing is, the good news is that Ty, the really sick chicken that got attacked by one of the coyotes, is actually, I got her to drink some antibiotics yesterday and some water, and I got her to eat a little bit of food. So I'm feeling a little bit better. She's not out of the woods yet, but she is on her way back to recovery. So, yay.
Hey, speaking of coyotes, I talked to the neighbor here yesterday, and I told him about my very large dog story from a couple of weeks ago.
The wolf you saw?
Yeah, and the wolf, he said, is probably a coyote because he said they have been spotting coyotes in the neighborhood here, and they've been warning residents to keep their small dogs, you know, keep an eye on them. Don't let them out by themselves because apparently they've been eating some cats and dogs. And he said if it was gray and looked like that, it was probably – and he said there is one that he talked to one of the neighbors that they saw that was very large. So that was probably what I saw that day.
I'm pretty sure what you saw was like Bigfoot at this point.
Yeah,
it was
the fish was 3 foot long and weighed 85 pounds.
And it had giant claws and these fangs that hung down. And oh my God, it was like, and it was menacing and it came after me and it chased me up a tree. Oh yeah.
It was carrying
a
full sized deer in its mouth as it was running along.
And then I went. And then I went fishing, and the fish I almost caught was like 20 pounds.
Jennifer, what's on today?
Yep. Sorry, I was sorry. On today's EasySignsOnline.com Thursday edition, we hit the town of Norco, California. Liza Rogers will be back with us again today with the latest happenings from the Horse Radio Network's adopted hometown. And then the chronicling will continue with incredible intern Megan from the Chronicle of the Horse. And this time up, what not to wear, equestrian edition.
And
finally,
I'm not sure if Megan's an intern anymore, but
we decided to continue calling her incredible intern because it sounds so cool.
Oh, okay.
Incredible employee just doesn't have the same ring.
No,
you're right.
No.
Yeah. And finally, Black Beauty. The dark clouds of impending chaos have been building for several chapters. Will the storm hit today?
Now, I know you like to make fun of me, Jennifer, but you two have also never read that story ever, which shocks me because you're just this amazing horsewoman who has never read Black Beauty. But I got to say, I'm impressed with the way that you're following it. When you post everything about what chapters I've read, you're really paying attention. I'm proud of you.
She's looking for really bad ads for Friday.
I went to Barnes & Noble and bought the Cliff Notes.
Oh, my God. You bought the kids' four-page version?
Sorry.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out today to a new affiliate we have, Royal Champion Supplements out of California, I believe they are. And they have added our show to their website at royalchampion.com. So we thank them for being part of the show and welcome them as a new affiliate. We have a new affiliate program, I didn't mention this yet, that has come out that will allow anybody that wants to carry any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network on any of their websites, whether you have a blog, you have a farm site, you have a site because you're a rider, whatever kind of website you have, it's a very simple embed code, just like putting the YouTube video in, and you can put the player for any one of our shows now, not just Horses in the Morning, on your website. So if you have a website and you want to carry one of our shows, just go to horseradionetwork.com, and you'll see an affiliates link at the top, and that'll give you all the instructions. And the button's right there, and you can put it on your website. And it's so cool the way it works. Now, Jamie, is that any of the shows, like if somebody wants to carry Stable Scoop, what will happen is they just put this little embed code. There's a little Stable Scoop listen button. If somebody's on their website and clicks it, it opens up a pop-up window with a little player in it, and they can listen up to the last 20 shows right from that player, and they never leave that person's website. So they can continue surfing around that website without ever leaving it and listen to our shows at the same time. So that's
cool.
Kind of cool. Yeah. So that's new and exciting. Do you have one?
Of course.
Okay, well, do you remember our friend named Uncle Mo?
Yes, Uncle Mo.
Uncle Mo was supposed to be the Derby favorite, but came down with a rare liver disease before the race. He was last year's two-year-old champion, Horse of the Year. Well, he was treated for quite some time, I believe, up in New Bolton, and then has been at Windstar Farms in Lexington, Kentucky. Well, he started jogging on June 24th. He's been feeling a lot better. You can actually go on his Facebook page, and you can watch videos of him, like, galloping around in the pasture, just totally being a horse. Well, I guess he lost a lot of weight, and now they've packed the weight back on. And Uncle Mo, as of next Monday, will be going back to Todd Pletcher's barn to ship to Saratoga and get back to work. Yay!
So he's feeling better, huh?
He is feeling better, and he's going back to the track. So when they asked Todd Pletcher how Uncle Mo was doing, he said, excellent. But he wouldn't say if he was ahead of schedule because they said they didn't have a schedule. I mean, they were just waiting on the horse to tell him when he was better. And I got to give Mike Rapoli and his barn credit, too, because they have done every test and every possible thing. And all the horse did was just not eat as well as he used to. And that's how they knew he was sick. And so they've really done a lot of work. They're like, he's just not right. He's just not right. I mean, to have a Derby contender, the two-year-old horse of the year, and to scratch him from the Derby because he just doesn't look right, you know, you got to give credit to a trainer and an owner like that, because how many guys just want to have their horse win the Derby?
Right.
But you take your chances completely out of the mix when you scratch your horse because he's not feeling right. Well, then after the Derby, they found out about this illness, and they were right, and they've been treating it, and he's back on track.
Back on track. Cool. Cool. I have an additional Daily Winnie, and we're gonna do something we haven't done before because this is extra special. She gets a double. Rhonda Crabtree, who said on our Facebook page this morning, I think we should start a club for those of us who have listened to every episode of every show on the Horse Radio Network. Add your name here, Rhonda Crabtree. Okay.
How is that possible? And she gets the coveted Daily Double Winnie?
Well, I haven't even listened to every episode. Rhonda, that's amazing, and you know, maybe, I don't know, you probably need a life or something, because, wow, that's just amazing. I'm just amazed.
That's awesome. And then she wants to start a club for those people that have listened to everyone. Rhonda, you are the official club member and the only member.
Yeah,
enjoy
I
that
think,
lonely club meeting.
That she is probably the only member of that. I don't know too many others. I actually wrote her a note back and said, were you serious, like Western and all of that? And she said, I've listened to everyone, including the 2010 radio show, every episode. That
wow.
was the Wake show we did. So I think a round of applause for Rhonda, because we have to send her something. We're going to have to find something
yeah.
to send her, because, wow.
I mean, you know, Rhonda, do you have the coveted Horse Radio Network hat? I mean, what can we do for you?
I mean, I could get one of the microphones bronzed.
Yeah, I think she'd have to stick around a little longer for that. She might have just told us that and she's about to quit listening. Like, I used to listen to every show, and now I'm out. But, Rhonda, we certainly do appreciate that. That's huge, and it's a big honor to be a part of your day. And everybody who's listening right now, too, is just, you know, it's just we were doing something that we love, and we're so glad we have somebody to share it with. So, I mean, Glenn and I could be sitting here talking ourselves, but we're not, which is amazing.
Yeah, we're talking to Rhonda. So
I know.
That's good.
Apparently.
Well, you know, and there's somebody else, too. There's something I got to talk to you about. You know, and this whole favoritism thing, you know, people seem to like you over me. And then, you know, you had a Daily Winnie yesterday with Michelle Dunks, who is a listener of ours and posts on our page and everything. And then she posted that, you know, she liked you better because you read this story and you're all that gushy stuff. And you went to movies with her mom and, you know, you were sucking up to her. And then, you know, she listens to the show yesterday, and then she has another post. So what I would like to happen right now is for Jennifer, I found Michelle's phone number, and I would like for Jennifer to call Michelle, and we need to have a discussion with her about about favoritism and how when you were growing up, you know, your parents told you that wasn't a good thing. You know, it's not a good thing to have a favorite kid.
Glenn,
she's not good. Yeah.
Glenn, now I described to you the day that I had, right? And I described to you that I had dead chickens and I had a sandstorm. My husband told me he's going to be gone longer and like this whole nightmare. And I said the one bright spot of my day that I was going to cling to was the fact that Michelle said she liked me better than you. And that was like my favorite part of the day. And right now you're just going to rip that rug right out from under me. It's all about you. I concede. Sure, you're better than me. Don't talk to Michelle. Don't make her mad. She's not going to like me anymore. I want her to know that I had no part of this calling her nonsense. I appreciated the comment, and I also appreciated the fact that in her new post, she said that I said hoofs right because you say hooves, and it's hoofs. And also, she wants a mini lap giraffe, obviously. Mini lap giraffes are the coolest animals ever. And she also said I'm not an Oompa Loompa. She's pretty much my new best friend. So if you could just not take that away from me. Jerk.
Well, I just wanted to have a conversation, and now you're blowing it all out of proportion, you know. you're just blowing it all out of proportion. Although she had to go and bring up the Oompa Loompa thing again. She did that also in her little post there. And I think that actually Jennifer has Michelle on the line. So let's say hello to Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
So
hello, BFF. She's my
hello,
BFF.
Yes. And, you know, I have to add, just because Glenn lives in the state that my aunt lives in. My grandmother lives in Arizona. I actually lived there 5 years. So my mom lives in Washington. I somehow ended up in Houston. So secretly, it's like 6 degrees of separation through the radio.
We're pretty much like sisters, is what I'm thinking.
Kind of, yeah, I think so.
Let me read yesterday's post. Thanks for the Daily Winnie, Janie. I hope your day is going better. Thanks for the giggle, Glenn. She did acknowledge me there. If it makes you feel any better, you come in a high second place. I've been catching up on some old shows, and Janie says hooves right, and
no.
I want a mini lap giraffe also. I don't understand what was so funny when Jen found the really bad ad. By the way, that was one of the funniest really bad ads ever. And Janie is not an Oompa Loompa. So not only do you throw me into second place again for the second day in a row, you have to bring up the whole Oompa Loompa thing, which was a scar on Jamie's soul. So
okay, I am a... Well, I have been called a fellow Oompa Loompa, so that one kind of struck a little chord that I was like, nobody is an Oompa Loompa. They don't walk around that orange.
Oh, well, see,
gosh,
Jamie
so
went
awesome.
With the short and fat. You went with orange.
You know, they're fun. I can sing the song. I won't, but I can sing the song.
Glenn, let me refresh our listeners' memories here. When... We were discussing this, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's like, well, Jamie, you look like an Oompa Loompa, which to me I'm sorry, you're short and you're fat and you're orange and you have green hair and you're stubby and you sing lots of weird songs. To me, it was like the ultimate no-no.
Insult.
What man calls a woman an Oompa Loompa and thinks he's going to get away with it?
Somebody that's never read Black Beauty.
Yeah,
exactly.
And someone who totally forgot what an Oompa Loompa looked like. The only thing I remembered about him from the movie was that they were short.
They were short orange, just like Jamie said. They were short orange and had green hair. I mean,
yeah, Alan has reminded us over and over again with multiple pictures now on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Oompa Loompa
yeah.
looks like. So now, did your mom have favorites? Did you have brothers and sisters? Or
did what? Say that again.
Did you have brothers and sisters growing up?
I have an older brother.
And was he the favorite? Did your mother pick favorites? Because, you know, you're taught as a parent not to pick favorites. And I think that goes with hosts, too.
My brother and I are literally night and day. There was no way whatsoever that we had anything in common except for, you know, we had the same parents for her to pick a favorite. My brother, it's just, I am definitely the outdoorsy horse lover, very much an animal lover, and my brother was very book savvy. He went to college, he graduated with honors, joined the Army, did two tours of duty as a soldier and one as a civilian, and I'm very much a homebody and a mama's girl, so she definitely relates to both of us on our individual levels, so I cannot say she picked a favorite.
See, and that's all I'm asking for.
Yeah. But I can say she came to visit me a week or so ago, and I got yelled at because her grandchild wasn't getting his daily fortified rations of vegetables, meaning I wasn't feeding him enough carrots. So she is very much a horse lover. She's very proud to wear the T-shirt. My grandkids have hoofs. It's hoofs.
Thank you.
And she is very, very proud to support her son, the soldier.
We were talking to some friends from back in Pennsylvania, and by the way, they say hooves too. It's just, I think that we've determined that that's really a regional thing.
Then that's like one of those single tree orchards where all the same apples fell from the same tree.
I don't think I even
like
got
her
that one.
So much.
I think I'm going to have to explain that one later.
You've been swimming in the small in the kids pool. Okay, you've been riding the short bus. You've been swimming in the kiddie pool. You know what I mean? Like time to move on.
All right,
I'm
done with Michelle now. I'm not getting anywhere here. I thought that I could talk some sense into her about favoritism and things like that, but obviously I'm not succeeding.
No. No, but, you know, could read a book. You could read a book to make up for everything.
I read lots of books. I just don't read ones that are violent like that.
Well, it's not violent. God. I mean, it has violence, but it's not violent. And it's the overall story that you look at that's truly touching to a horse lover.
Yes. What
you
she
could
said.
Read, you could read, let me see, a Dr. Seuss book, you know, Horton Hears a Who, or
you
something
know what,
like that.
You know what is true? You know what is true, and Jennifer finds this totally amazing. I grew up in a family of four boys, and my parents did not read fairy tales of any kind. I know nothing about any fairy tales.
Oh, you're a deprived child.
Yeah, she'll talk about these fairy tales and, you know, the Horton thing and all that stuff. Whatever one, I don't know anything about any of them, because they've just never
okay.
read those.
Okay, so Yeah, this is what I'm hearing is that once we get done with Black Beauty, because apparently Glenn had a stunted childhood and he was not exposed to the things that most normal children are, which is clearly apparent at this age. I think what we're going to have to do is just run through, you know, we're going to have to go through Aesop's Fables, and we're going to have to go through the Doctor Who books, Dr. Seuss books, and then, you know, just basically bring the child back to Glenn, because, I no doubt would think Jennifer would be involved in this as well, since she hadn't read Black Beauty and they married each other, so it must have something in common.
Must.
I think... I think we take, you know, we take this and we run with it, and we bring the youth back to Glenn. Give him his childhood back.
Something was definitely started with Black Beauty that is going to have to continue.
All right, I only have one thing to say.
Thanks for the giggle, Glenn. That was great.
Bye, Michelle. Thank you
Bye.
For being on
thanks.
The line with us today. And
no problem.
For
have a good
we
day.
Do appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye, Michelle. I'll call you later. BFF.
Hey, I have a glory story, and I have bumper music for that. You like it?
Like, do that again. I want to hear the dog bark.
And that is a greyhound bark. However, it's not our greyhound. I had to get it off YouTube because I couldn't get her to bark. I tried to get her to bark this morning. She wouldn't bark. So I have a glory story.
You've got a breed-specific bark?
Yeah, that's a greyhound bark. So yesterday, she's been kind of lackadaisical because I think she had another greyhound to play with at the foster home she was at, and she's just getting used to the routine around here. And greyhounds are very much into routine. They like things to be the same every day, same time for feeding, the same time for walking. Everything has to be routine. Well, and she's getting used to a new routine, and of course we've had the fireworks that finally ended last night that she just is terrified of. So last night I thought I'll bring her to the dog park because I know she loves the dog park. And right across the street from our house, we have a 12-acre dog park at Masterson Station. And we went in there, and for the first time, Jamie, this was so cool. She really stuck with me at the dog park. She went over and visited a couple of the other dogs, but nobody was running and playing, so she didn't really run. I haven't seen her run yet. And so I thought, well, we'll just go take a walk around the dog park. And I called her off the other dogs, and she came running right over. She stuck right with me as we were walking around the park. And
aww.
At the other end of the park was this German Shepherd that was playing fetch. He had this ball tosser thing, and he was playing fetch with this young German Shepherd, about a year old. And I said, do you mind? I said, is your German Shepherd friendly? And he was like, yeah, cool. And I said, well, I'm going to see if I can get my greyhound to run along. And so I said, so he threw the ball a mile across the park, and the German Shepherd took off, got about 25 yards away, and Glory actually looked at me, and I said, go get him. And she waited until I said it was okay to go, and she took off like a rocket. Yes, it was so cool to see her run. This, I'm telling you, German Shepherd had 50 yards on her, and she caught up in no time. Matter of fact, the owner was like, oh, my God. Now, stopping's not so good. It took her a while. The German Shepherd stops on a dime, and Glory's, like, putting the brakes on and takes about 15 strides because she's going 35 miles an hour. And then on the way back, I called her, and she flew. Well, she did that about two more times. Unfortunately, I was so stupid, I didn't get my phone to video it. I was just so excited to see her run. She can fly. She blew that German Shepherd away, and the German Shepherds are fast. But then the guy was impressed too. He's like, "Well, that's pretty impressive."
Dude, your street cred at the dog park just totally went up.
I know.
Okay? They're like, "Hey, man, what kind of dog is that? It's a greyhound, yeah, whatever." And then you're like, and it's like off like a rocket. They're like, okay, you're in. You're cool. I got you.
So it's cool. It was very much, it was a blast. And, you know, she ran, greyhounds are good for this. They'll run like that for about 2 minutes, and they're done because they're sprinters. They're done. See, the German Shepherd was still going when we were leaving the park, you know, on his 85th trip to get the ball. But she was done after three runs. That was it. So, she was hanging around with the German Shepherd. I called her, and she came right over. And the rest of the way around the park, doing our walk, she would walk about 10 feet in front of me, stop and wait for me, walk about 10 feet in front of me, stop and wait for me, the whole way around. It was so cool to see that she bonded like that already, because greyhounds don't always do that, and to see her run. So I had a very special night with my doggie last night. I was very excited.
Did you snuggle with your puppy?
The puppy's, you know, the puppy's not much of a snuggler. She'll come over and she'll lay with you a little bit. She's taken this liking to her crate, so she spends a lot of time in her crate. She just likes it in there. Well, plus we have about 85 inches of bedding in there, so I think that probably helps too. But she was pretty pooped last night. She was worn out.
Aw, well, three runs in the park at 40 miles an hour, it's like doing wind sprints.
Exactly.
But that's so, first of all, it's so cool that she's bonded to you like that. It's great that you now go to the dog park and people see you coming and they're like, oh, there's that dude with the fast dog. And your dog is totally in love with you and listens and is actually well-behaved and has decided to obey your command as opposed to anybody else's. And didn't you say that greyhounds have the propensity to just kind of streak away and run off?
13 years with our last one, she would not come if you called her at the dog park if her life depended on it. It's like she just, and a lot of them are that way. They're in their own little world, and they just don't listen very well. That's why when you sign a contract to the adoption contract, it says in there you're never, ever allowed to let them off the leash unless they're in a fenced-in area because they'll disappear. She apparently got out on the foster mommy, and it took eight of them 3 hours to catch her.
Stop. Are you serious?
No. There's actually a phone number. It's also in the contract that if your greyhound gets loose, like sneaks out the door is what she did, if they sneak out the door, you're supposed to call the greyhound rescue people because they actually have teams on call to come out and help you catch your greyhound. They'll you know, six or eight people will show up to help you catch your greyhound because you got to think, 35 miles an hour in three strides, they can go quite a distance in a short period of time. So, you know.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy because, like, I get so mad at my dogs if they don't come when I call them. And I spent a lot of time with our puppies, you know, keeping them on honestly, baling twine and letting them go out far away. And I'd go, you know, Boomer, come, and just pull them into me and did that like 1,000 times. And Boomer comes every time. Zenyatta still looks at me and goes, I don't know about this. Is there something better far away? And half the time there is. That's true. But she's it would drive me crazy to have a dog that didn't come, but apparently your dog loves you.
Yeah, she's. I was so happy. I think I had a better time than she did last night. It was fun. I want to go to the dog park every
awesome.
Night.
That's awesome.
Oh, that was my glory story. My glory story.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're going to get our first guest, or a second guest, actually, on here in a minute, but I want to tell you about our sponsors, and congratulations, Glenn. I'm so glad you guys finally adopted one and that it's going so well. That's awesome. You're a good person, even though you're Michelle's second favorite.
yeah, we're going to talk about that. That conversation's not over, Michelle.
Michelle, if you want to just placate him and tell him that he's your favorite, I'll know the truth. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all of the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates to farm entrance signs, they also have business, school, and church signs. And they now offer a complete line of indoor signs, great for use in offices, churches, schools, etc. If you want one that says tack room or feed room, you can do that too, with sizes from 6x6 to up to 4x8, any size in between. They have your indoor sign needs covered. They ship to every state in the U.S., and they have a free shipping promotion today. So go check that out, EasySignsOnline.com. You can browse their website for all their details or call them at 1-800-640-8180. That's EasySignsOnline.com.
Well, while we're waiting for our guest, which we're going to get our Norco update here very shortly, I wanted to tell you that this morning I got an email from Smokey Branneman, who is Buck Branneman's older brother. Was it older
Yay!
Brother? Is it Smokey's
yeah.
older brother? Yeah. Well, he said, and he gives a new perspective. Remember, Jamie did a review, if you missed it, on Monday's show or Tuesday's show, yesterday's show, Tuesday's show. About seeing Buck and her review of Buck and what she thought about the woman that was in the movie. And everybody knows if that's seen the movie. When I say the woman, they know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he says this, "Hello, guys. I just listened to Jamie's review of Little Brother's Flick." That would be Buck.
Get Although out of here. Oh, my God. Smokey Brandon listened to Buck. I should have been. Oh, I'm nervous now. What did he say?
He says, although I can agree with her comments about the woman in the movie, folks need to look at this with another perspective. She is simply another victim of not enough basic education about owning and riding horses. I am sure she did not intend to end up where she is, and perhaps if her and others had known that there are people and resources out there that they can educate themselves without what it really takes to own and take care of horses properly, it might have turned out differently for her. And, you know, he has some resources there, too, that he's put together to help with that, just like Buck has. And then he says, rather than reading Black Beauty, go ahead and read one of the good horse books and educate people.
Thank you,
Smokey. And he says, I am heading back for the last day of my 3-day Shut Up and Ride clinic for kids. Don't you love that?
I'm sorry, Shut Up and Ride clinic for kids?
Yeah, right.
That's funny.
And he says,
okay, first of all, Mr. Smokey.
Let me read his last sentence. Says, trying to start a few outright. So there you go.
And I appreciate that. But if you tell me that Black Beauty did not start women, horsewomen that read this book as kids to give them compassion and think in horse terms, I'm sorry. If this woman would have read Black Beauty when she was young, she would have known that 18 stallions in a pasture is idiotic. However, Smokey, I totally agree with you. And I think that education is the biggest key. And I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to read Black Beauty and why, you know, 40,000 of our listeners also agreed with me, was because it does teach you compassion and it does teach you some horsemanship. Granted, it was written in 1877 and things are a little different. But I do want to say that, you know, that's what Smokey and Buck are all about. That's why they go and that's why they do these clinics. And that's why Buck made a movie, because he's helping people and he's educating people. And I do appreciate what you guys do. I think you guys are both phenomenally amazing people. I'm talking to him like he's here.
Well, obviously he's listening, so.
Yeah, but I do want to say, you know, I think that there's a lot of different ways to learn about compassion and get education. And I think if anybody seeks any good trainer out, you know, they're doing themselves a favor. I do think that, yes, she's a product of an uneducated horse owner, but there's only one person who's responsible for you, and that's you. She could have stepped out and she would have done a little self-evaluation and gone, wow, this is kind of idiotic. I have no control over these horses. I have no time to give them any attention. I really probably should do something about my situation. So, yes, she is still at fault. And, yes, boy, I'm going off. I'm sorry.
I just thought, wow, I wound her up and there she went. Actually, Smokey wound her up and there she went.
Exactly. Well, Smokey, I really wanted to have you back on the show. Please come back on and we'll discuss this. But you're right. I mean, I think education is the key to just about everything. So I agree with you. Shut up and ride.
He has a good point. Maybe we're looking for another book to maybe not read the whole thing, but he does. One of the books, I think, didn't he write it, the Equinology 101? It actually is very good with very basic stuff. So maybe we'll read a couple chapters of that when we're done with Black Beauty. So
I would be happy to read a horse book to educate people. I think that is a phenomenal idea. However, there's this whole rights thing. And the fact that Black Beauty was written in 1877, nobody owns that anymore, so we can't get sued. So, Smokey, if you want your publisher to give us a go-ahead clearance letter about it, we'd be happy to read it. I'm just trying to protect the Horse Radio Network here, Glenn.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Getting sued is not on my agenda for this week.
There's copyright issues every once in a while.
By the way, I thought the best part of this email was the Shut Up and Ride clinic for kids. I love that. I can't tell you how many times Jennifer has said to students, okay, shut up and ride.
Yeah. I say that all the time, too. I'm like, shut up and get on your horse and go ride. Get on. Go. Just giddy up. Hush.
And after all of that, I'm sure our guest really wants to join us now.
I'm going to be quiet for a while. Why don't you take this one, Glenn?
All right. Lisa Rogers is with the town of Norco with the Norco update. And we haven't had them on in a while. Norco is sort of our adopted town. They are a horsey community. You can ride up to the Dairy Queen, to the drive-thru. You can ride to the McDonald's, and they don't give you crap like at that other place where they wouldn't let that lady through. So Norco is the horse-friendly town, and we try and keep up with them on a regular basis. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on again.
We were just talking about the movie Buck, and I got to imagine that it had to be playing somewhere around Norco, and it was probably full of horse people.
There have been several, I want to say, intimate theaters around the Southern California area that have, shown that movie, and it's everybody just comes out just beaming and been telling me just what a great time that they had, and it's been an intimate setting, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it or any of your readers have ever read his book Believe, but that you were talking about books earlier, that's a fabulous book to read.
Yeah, and we just were talking about his brother who listens to our show, Smokey, and he wrote to us about our comments about the movie. So that was kind of cool. It's kind of cool to know that you have people like that listening to your show. That's neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So tell us what's going on in Norco. What's happening?
Well, we had our Best of America by Horseback event in May, and it was so neat to have people from so far away as far away as Maine come with their horses. We had six ladies come from Maine, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Florida. They were a group of them. And they it was in a Norco or bust trip that they took. They
road trip.
Road trip, exactly. And they were so great. They dubbed themselves the Six Pack, and they were just so much fun. And you know the experiences that they had coming out here, and for them to tell me, they spent a couple of days at my ranch. Because they traveled a real long way, so it wasn't like they could just show up on the day that it all started. They told me when they pulled off the freeway, they're like, "This really is a city," and I said, "Yes, it is." Because they had no idea what to expect. It was really neat.
Well, I can't wait to go. We definitely have to do this sometime, Jamie, just because we need to say we've been there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
Well, Jamie, I know that you're probably experiencing the same thing that we are right now. It is a little warm. And, it was so beautiful up until about 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, boom, it got hot. Was it kind of like that for you, Jamie?
You know what it feels like? It's like, 90 in a dry heat, I'm not going to lie, is kind of bearable. You know, I can ride in 90 degrees in this drier heat. But what we did is we went from 90 to 110. There was like no climbing up the ladder at all. It was just 90 to 110. And then, we've had it all the way up to 118. How about you guys?
Right now we're hovering about 100, but what we're having, and I understand what you're saying about the dry heat, but right now what we're having is a little bit of humidity, which it just absolutely makes it feel like it's 118.
We got that too right now. Yeah.
And it was exactly like you said. It was really nice, it was bearable, and then all of a sudden, boom, it was just super warm. So I would welcome you guys to come back in the spring.
Okay, that sounds good. Spring or fall.
And also, and maybe we can tie it into when our brand new Silver Lakes Equestrian Park complex opens up next year.
Oh, cool. That'd be fun.
Yes, it's a 120-acre facility it's a sports complex that we've been praying and hoping that everything would work out. And the last time I was on, we talked a little bit about that area flooding and the problems that we had. They have built it's not an earthen dam, it's a rock dam dike all the way around the property so that hopefully it will prevent any future flooding. But they will, all the contracts have been signed, the city's approved it, all of that background stuff has been done, and I have been told by the city officials that the first scheduled events will be spring of 2012. So a lot of work has to take place, but there will be an
6,000 square foot permanent building to host all kinds of different events. We will have soccer and world class eventing, polo, dressage, hunter jumper events there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And, you know, I'm excited because when you have a equestrian community like that, you need something like that for people to be able to have a reason to come there to see how cool it really is. I mean, now you're going to have all the people coming in for the show seeing how cool it really is. I think that's exciting.
Well, it's super exciting. And then plus, there will also be camping down there. And there will be trails right out of the complex into our river bottom, which is part of the Coast to Crest Trail system. And then they can actually come right up on into the downtown area of Norco, the old town area, I should say, of Norco, where you can ride to go get ice cream through the drive-thru, have lunch, yeah. And that was really neat to show that off to all the people who came and visited for Best America by Horseback. So that is the thing that we're super excited about, but we've also got National Day of the Cowboy coming up, too.
Well, before we get to National Day of the Cowboy, I just want to ask, so you've got hunter jumper shows, you've
yes.
got trails, you've got everything. What are the odds that you guys are going to get a horse trial, a three-day event? Put some cross-country jumps out there, maybe?
From what I understand, I'm not from that area, or I should say that type of events, but I'm sure you've heard of Blenheim Equisports from the Oaks in San Juan Capistrano. They do the Del Mar show. They do the Vegas show. They also have the San Juan Capistrano show, and I understand that's part of the package of events that they do. So that is, but I will check into it, Jamie, and I will email you personally. How about that?
Okay, that sounds great, because seriously, the horse trials around here that I have to go to, if I don't go up to Flagstaff, literally I have to drive like 8 hours for every single one of them. And Norco, conveniently living west of Phoenix, is probably only about a 4.5-5-hour drive. So I'm in. I would like to compete there. Make it happen.
I will check into that for you.
Thank you very much. Carry on.
You're welcome.
Tell us about the National Day of the Cowboy.
3 years ago, the city adopted that event, or I should say that national recognized event, to host an event here in town where people who would like to learn more about horses or would like to see things that happened or that working cowboys would do. And we've had bull rides, we've had the junior bull riders, the mutton busting. This year we will be having an obstacle course where anybody who would like to come up and ride their horse can participate for $4.98. And there will be mutton busting.
$4.98?
$4.98. Well, in California, we have something that's called the state drug fee. And so any event that you charge over $4.99, you have to charge a $5 drug fee. And that money goes to the state. And it's the law. So in order to,
Only in California.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's been on the books for a long time, and everybody knows. I mean, even when I have my little events here on my obstacle course, and we started a summer buckle series, I got to charge the drug fee. It's the law, and fines are excessive.
You're saying drug, like D-R-U-G, drug fee?
Correct.
And what's it
correct.
For?
It's to ensure that the competition is safe and that people are not giving their animals...
But do you actually have to test?
They do come out and test, and it's random. You have
so they
to
come
register.
Out and test even at little tiny things where you're riding around a course and you charge them $10?
Yes.
That's just ridiculous.
Well, if money or prizes are involved, You know, not everybody puts the care of the animal first. And that is, I believe, what the intention is to make sure that there's not any performance-enhancing drugs to benefit yourself.
Okay, I get that for races and for large Olympic international events. I don't get it so much for I want to have a little event in my backyard.
I know. I do, but it's the law. The fines,
welcome to California.
Well, they start at like $2,500. And you could be
fined. Wait, let me rephrase that. Welcome to California where marijuana is legal. So,
yeah. I never thought about that, Glenn. That's pretty clever of you.
Sorry, just thought I'd bring that up. You're allowed to have drugs. Your horse isn't.
Yeah. But we're going to be rolling out, profiling, or I should say, exhibiting a brand new event that me and a partner are putting together. It's based on a Stockman or a ranch versatility event, and it's going to be called the Norco Saddlemaster Championship. And it will include three separate events to make one competition. And the individual will have to compete in cutting, reining, working the fence, and an obstacle course, all on the same horse. And we're really excited about it, and we're going to exhibit it this year, roll it out next year, and we're going to put up a $10,000 purse for it.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. Tell everybody where they can find out more about Norco and the horse activities there.
You can visit the City of Norco website, Horsetown USA. You can also visit the Norco Horsemen's Association website. You can visit my website, which is First Time Events, spelled out, FirstTime, events.com. And I have links to the city site. I have links to other sites. And we would love everybody and anybody to visit us. If you have DirecTV or Dish, and also on the web, you can see the Best of America by Horseback Norco Grand Tour show on August 2nd. And we would love everybody to watch that, and they can see our lovely Norconian hotel, which is not open to the general public, so you'll get to see a bit of history on that show, and you'll get to see our streets and part of our ride and the lovely riding that we have here. And we will have camping very shortly, so if anybody wants to...
There you go, Jamie.
Yeah, boy, I love camping.
We have lovely hotels here in town, too. Lovely hotels.
Lisa, I got to tell you, Lisa, you sent us, by the way, thank you very much. I don't know if I talked to you since then. You sent us a gift pack of all kinds of goodies from Norco, and I just posted on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You can go check it out. Me in my Horsetown USA Norco hat, recording this morning. So you'll see a very current picture of me and my doggie. My doggie was in the background there, in the studio doing our recording. So there you go. I posted it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And you know, don't be shocked if you get more swag from me. I would love you have done so much for this great opportunity to allow me to talk about this town that I love so much. And Jamie, I will contact you, and you know, we get you out here. We will host you and make sure that you have a very comfortable stay when you come to compete. And we'll be down there cheering you on. So I just have to make sure that we actually will be doing some of that stuff. If
yeah,
not,
go ahead
create
and put in the cross-country course for me, and I'll come on out. No, I appreciate it, and we love having you on. You were great today, so I know you were a little I heard you might be a little nervous, but you did a fantastic job, very good, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you both, and stay cool for you, Glenn. Thank you again for wearing a Horsetown USA, and congratulations with the success with your dog. That is so great to hear.
I know. It's so much fun. Well, thank you very much, and we'll definitely get out. You let us know when the grand opening of your thingy is and your arena stadium complex, and we'll be out. We'll be out. We'll do the show live from there at 6 o'clock some morning.
I'm going to hold you to that. I will hold you to that, and that is a fabulous plan, and thank you again, and
all right,
good morning.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Our song today is brought to you by FeedXL. FeedXL is the place that you go to find out if you're feeding your horses correctly. A brand-new website. You want to go check it out at FeedXL.com. They have tons of good information on horse nutrition. That's not mine. Mind them bark.
Excuse me. Sorry. Apparently a bird landed on my patio. Dear God.
On horse nutrition, you can find it, all the information you want there. It's very personalized. You put in information about your horse and exactly what goes into your horse's mouth, from supplements to hay to grain, everything that you feed your horse. It analyzes all the ingredients of everything that you're feeding your horse, takes a look at your horse's weight and breed and what the requirements are for a horse of like yours. And then it prints out these very detailed charts and graphs that show you if you're feeding too much or too little of any given thing. So it's definitely worth taking a look at. It's worth the peace of mind of knowing that you're doing things right by your horse. Go to FeedXL.com. I thought, Jamie, today, seeing you're the favorite child, that we would remind everybody that Jamie used to play guitar, used to strum on the harmonica with their lips, and used to sing a little.
And that is the Lindsay Rakers Band. Of course, Glenn, you led into that song, making it sound like I was the one singing that. That was definitely not me. Lindsay Rakers Band, if you want to find her, I believe it's lindsayrakers.com. So check that out.
What I actually meant is Jamie did sing with Lindsay for a year. What, a year? You did shows together?
Year or two, actually. We would do shows and open mics, and we were like, you know, we were like Phoebe from Friends, but two of us. And we did sing Smelly Cat.
No.
Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat, what are they feeding you?
Oh, my God, that sounds just like Phoebe. It really does.
I know. I'm telling you, I'm awesome. That's why I'm now doing radio, and she's still singing.
She's I follow her on Facebook. We're talking about Lindsay Rakers from Atlanta, Georgia. And, boy, she's getting a lot of gigs. She's doing a lot more work. I think in the last couple of months it's picked up for her.
She's kind of a big deal. She's kind of a big deal. I'm not going to lie. And the fact that she works for the Carter Center and, like, some awesome foundation. It's not like she does it for a complete living. She actually has a very philanthropic job. She's just a great person. So fire music, people.
All right. Megan is ready. Why don't we take Megan here, and then we'll do Black Beauty to end the show today.
Yeah, the pressure. I'm sitting right here with the book. Go ahead.
Why don't you lead into Megan this time?
Well, you know what? Probably Megan, because she is a sensible young woman, would love to hear Black Beauty, but that's okay. We'll go to Megan first. Megan, the former intern, which we like to just call Megan the intern, from the Chronicle of the Horse, is bringing us her Chronicle report this week instead of Lisa. And this article that she wrote, we just had to talk to her about it, because she wrote an article, What Not to Wear. Summer schooling attire. And I must say that a couple of these times, in a couple of these situations, I might have been guilty. And the other ones are my total pet peeves. So your article was absolutely fantastic. Why don't you tell people a little bit about it? First of all, good morning.
Good morning. We have these editorial meetings and we throw things around. And, you know, I said, well, we're looking for interesting stuff, and I had just been at a horse show, and you know, you see all these, well, when it's hot, right? I understand what it means. And I was like, man, there were some questionable fashion decisions there. And but I mean, you can't, when you're around horses, it's tough to always be worrying about the way you look. However, I worked in New York for a while in fashion, and so I have like an interest in it. And so
Meet Kelly from the show?
Didn't meet Kelly from the show.
What Not to Wear?
Oh, I did not. No, I thought you were talking about Kelly Ripa.
No. I meant the What Not to Wear show. See, I figured that's where you got this inspiration from. Are you going to be doing $5,000 makeovers?
I thought it was Stacey London that did.
Stacey and Kelly. What's his name, Jennifer Kelly? It's Stacey and Kelly.
I've met Stacey before. But
oh, really?
We did some work. She was doing like a show at something I was doing with one of my clients. So yes, I have met her.
Glenn,
she's very nice, I have to say.
Are you going
to
be doing $5,000 makeovers for horse people?
Yeah, I'm going to pitch that maybe, you know, after we review the budget in a couple of years. But I don't know,
Glenn,
if that's in, I don't know if we're going to do makeovers, but I
Megan,
would be game
do you
for
agree
it
that maybe Glenn's man card should be revoked after knowing the name of the person and What Not to Wear?
Oh, we used to watch What Not to Wear all the
over
time.
Me? Yeah, he
I think I watched
it.
Hundreds of What Not to Wears with Jennifer. We used to love that show. We used to love
it is a great
these
show. It really is a great show.
To see these crappily attired people that hadn't looked like they had bought new clothes in the last 49 years come in and get total makeovers. And then Jennifer going, yeah, I wouldn't wear that in the barn. Yeah, I'm not going to buy that $1,000 outfit to wear in the barn. You know, that kind of thing. But you're going to go over with us what's in this article. And I want to, for each of your points, give whether the horse husband side of things, whether I agree or not.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
And then,
right.
You know, the funniest part about writing something like this is that you get the, you know, we put it up on Facebook or then they talk about it on our forums. And so it's also funny to hear about or to hear from the readers, you know, what they think about it. And so,
you got
spam. Yes, go ahead.
You got slammed in your forums.
Yeah, some people were like, no, that's wrong. I totally disagree. And then it was just, it's hysterical. I mean, I think that's just part of it. It gives me a good laugh. Because, I mean, obviously it's not like a serious, it's a fun article, right? Like, we're not going to, I don't know. So it was just, some people take it like very seriously. And these are just suggestions. These are suggestions, maybe. Because it is a little bit, sometimes you feel a little uncomfortable if you see somebody that is, not wearing enough clothing, and maybe you should be wearing clothing, and or something to be able to represent.
Let's go through the points one by one. Let's start with number one. Leave the low rise jeans in the closet. You tell us about that one.
Well, you know, I've been known to wear jeans to ride, and in fact, I stopped wearing them just because it happened to like be kind of rubbing my saddle. So there's nothing wrong with wearing jeans when you're riding. Obviously in the winter too, it's warm, but it is hot to wear them in the summer. And now that low-rise jeans are so popular, you know, you sit down when you're on a horse. And so if you don't have proper coverage, then I don't think people are going to be paying attention to, you know, how nice your horse is moving if you're giving them a serious look out there of something that maybe you could hike your pants up a little bit more. You just got to be careful.
Okay, here's the horse husband version, how we feel.
We personally
like the low-rise jeans that, what did the one person, I love what this one person said, I won't be able to find it now because I'm like 12 pages deep into the forum here, but this one person said, for starters, I wear low-rise jeans, riding sometimes, and don't show crack.
Yes, that's true. It can happen. I'm just saying you can, if you can make it happen and not reveal a lot of yourself. But, I mean, it is sometimes a little bit awkward to see more than you
okay.
should.
Well, what I'm trying to say from our point of view is we don't mind that. It's okay.
Oh, well, okay. That's just bad taste then.
That's because you're a pig and you're a man and it goes hand in hand. But I got to say that, honey, if you're wearing low-rise jeans, your crack is showing. You might not know it. But it is. When you go, if you're wearing low-rise jeans and you go, and I'm guilty, and I show my butt crack all the time, whatever. But if you go to pick your horse's hooves, your butt is showing. So I love the fact that she wrote, after that, she wrote, I wear really big baggy T-shirts to cover it.
She knows it's happening.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
You could meet somewhere in the middle, right? You could maybe, like, wear less low-rise jeans, and I don't know. Well, I mean.
Well, and that brings me to my. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you'd have to stick to an opinion. You know, so I have to say that this is my opinion. This is an opinion piece. I mean, people are going to choose what they want to wear, whether they're riding or they're going to dinner or anything like that. But, you know,
Of course. It's a fun article. And what I liked about this is that girl commenting about the fact that she wore a really big baggy T-shirt. Number three.
Yeah, dowdy duds are, don't.
Dowdy duds. So don't wear it. I love this line. That double extra large Miller Lite T-shirt that they were giving away at the gas station car wash. Don't wear that. I love that.
Yeah, but I just feel like there's so often that you see, you know, you've got like schooling tights on and then they've got like a huge T-shirt on. And I think like when we were kids and everything like that, of course, my mom wouldn't want me to wear like any of my nice clothes, so I would get T-shirts. But it's just, it's also too, there's so much extra fabric and it's not as cool, like, and it, plus it's, you're all flapping around, it's very hard, you know. Part of riding is having some sort of silhouette, I suppose. That's where it came from. That's why we have to wear those fitted jackets and fitted
pants.
All right,
Megan, this one is horse husband approved because the tighter the better, so we're with you on that one. Now let's do number two. Let's back up. Sport bras
are not, I know you're gonna like this one, so I don't even know why we're gonna discuss it.
You say we are athletes. Schooling our horses is exercise. But just because high school soccer girls can get by doing drills in their sports bras does not, under any condition, mean it is acceptable to school your horse wearing boots, breeches, and a sports bra. Oh.
I mean,
I'm with you, girl.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't know.
And what? And
there's
then,
something about that. There's something
on.
About the and fact that you never quite know what the horse is going to do. The horse moves underneath you. There's a lot of movement going on there.
Oh, that's crap. And then it says, or one that might give spectators an accidental peep show. What is wrong with that?
Megan, listen. Will you please? Please stick to your guns and stand up for yourself.
I am.
You
I'm
are
totally
dealing with somebody. No, you are like, well, I don't know. No, sports bras are trashy to wear if you're out there, plus the fact that there's the added sunburn effect in the summertime. Glenn is just being a subjective
man. That's fine.
Man and
I like to defend my I like to defend my position on this.
I
no, absolutely not.
Up
you will,
for
I will
all
not.
The men. That listen to this show. We have a lot of men that listen to this show, and I am
are
representing
gonna, can we get,
here
can we
today.
Get some of them to call in and see if you're the only one that thinks that's acceptable?
Oh, no, they'll write in. They'll be posting on Facebook here shortly, I guarantee you. So now you tell me, both of you, that neither one of you has worn a sports bra outside in the summertime to ride once.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I totally have. Oh, I totally have, but I was 23. Okay. As opposed
that doesn't
to
matter.
33.
I mean, at some point, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I don't
Jennifer
know.
Jennifer wrote in our chat room, bouncy, bouncy, ooh.
Yeah, there's a lot of bounce. There's a lot of bounce. Not to mention that most of the time, since we spend so much time outside, we're on horses, your midsection is going to be very pale. So
I got to agree with you with the next one, by the way. I'm going to agree with the next one, and that's no shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that one.
Well, when I was younger, I did. We had those. First of all, now I ride in half chaps, so that would be really unfortunate to try to use shorts and half chaps. But, you know, we were younger. I was like 10 or 11, and of course, my chaps were probably way too big for me in the first place, but we'd spend all day at the barn and we would do summer camps and stuff. And so when we were ready to ride, we just put our chaps on over our shorts. And, you know, like I said, certainly the leather bled into my legs plenty of times. And, but you are too. It is a little tough I remember my coach used to do it, so that's why we started it. And she would get these terrible blisters on her legs and stuff because we really don't have proper coverage there. And it is, I mean, like, that one is something that I obviously said I committed the crime, but I don't think it's a great idea. Guys, I mean, I guess if you could really get by with it, but that would just be something that I've learned. Let's say I've done it and I've learned that there's a better way, and that is wearing some sort of light kind of pant and maybe boots or half chaps. I'm going with this one.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you're so against it, honestly, because I would think that I wouldn't think you would have such a strong opinion on the shorts. So.
Personally, actually, I think it's kind of weird looking to see people in shorts riding. And I loved your comment at a young age. Let's see, where was that? That you
I
put,
self-admittedly
oh.
committed this crime of equestrian fashion.
And not only did my full-length chaps bleed hunter green dye upon my small, sweaty legs, but I experienced painful blisters and sores in places best left to the imagination. You're a good writer, by the way.
Well, that's my job, so thanks. I appreciate that. Oh, man.
And the final one, number five, is use your head. Go ahead, explain that one for us.
Well, I mean, I think that it's becoming more and more, actually, in our Chronicle Connection that's coming out for August. We have, I worked on a helmet fashion feature, like helmets through the last, you know, like 100 years or so. And it was really shocking to see that, you know, just within this, the last 10 years, or even the last 5 years, you know, just kind of the strides made for actually requiring people to wear helmets or people wearing helmets that are approved and whatnot, because, I don't know. We're just becoming a little bit smarter about it. And but in the summertime, it is hot. I mean, it really is. And I'm a sweater. I sweat very easily. So when I take my helmet off, I do not look attractive. But it's a lot better. You know, I've had certainly some serious falls, and you know, you're going to choose to ride a horse. You're going to be uncomfortable. It's hot outside or it's cold outside in the winter. That just goes with the game. So it's best to put your helmet on. and put your baseball hat on afterwards.
Yeah. So what would you do if, say, Megan, we decided to meet up and go for a ride, and I was wearing a pair of low-rise jean shorts with my half chaps and a ripped sports bra and a ball cap? Would you just remove me from the premises?
I don't even know how I would go about things. Now that you and I have had a conversation, I would have to be brutally honest with you. But if I didn't know you, I would have to, like, rack my brain for a minute. Like, how can I not offend this person by telling them that they are offending me? So.
Megan, it's been great having you on. I look forward
thanks,
to next
guys.
Week and your next article. Your articles are very fun to read. So don't
thanks.
Let Glenn push you around either. You know, just stick up for yourself.
Well, I'm going to be. I'll check your Facebook page and see how many of your male listeners have agreed with you, Glenn.
All right, I want to find out. Yes, I think that would be good. Post on there who agrees with me. You know, and I guarantee you, Robert's going to agree with me. Better, I'll cut him
all
off
right.
on the show.
I'll check back midday today and see who thinks that my ideas were better or your ideas were better.
Megan, she's a tough one. She's sticking with
the challenge.
Yeah.
The challenge.
Thank you, Megan. We appreciate
you're welcome,
it. And of
guys.
Course,
have a good weekend.
It's the cronofhorse.com, cronofhorse.com. And on their homepage there, you'll see the access to their digital publication, which is a version of their magazine. That you can get online, so you'll find that there as well at cronofhorse.com. That's Megan the intern. Say goodbye, Megan.
Glenn? She's already
gone. I think I thought she was still there. She's
I'm
gone.
Like, play the Black Beauty music. It's time.
Oh, it's time?
Okay.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Part 2, Earlshaw. The next morning after breakfast, Joe put Merrylegs into the mistress's low chaise to take him to the vicarage. He came first and said goodbye to us, and Merrylegs neighed to us from the yard. Then John put the saddle on Ginger and the leading rein on me and rode us across the country about 15 miles to Earlshaw Park, where the Earl of W. lived. There was a very fine house and a great deal of stabling. We went into the yard through a stone gateway, and John asked for Mr. York. It was some time before he came. He was a fine-looking middle-aged man, and his voice said at once that he expected to be obeyed. He was very friendly and polite to John, and after giving us a slight look, he called a groom to take us to our boxes and invited John to take some refreshment. We were taken to a light, airy stable and placed in boxes adjoining each other, where we were rubbed down and fed. In about half an hour, John and Mr. York, who was to be our new coachman, came in to see us. "Now, Mr. Manley," he said, after carefully looking at us both, "I can see no fault in these horses, but we all know that horses have their peculiarities, I can't say that word, as well as men, and that sometimes they need different treatment. I should like to know if there's anything particular in either one of these that you would like to mention." "Well," said John, "I don't believe there's a better pair of horses in the country, and right grieved I am to part with them, but they are not alike. The black one is the most perfect temper I ever knew. I suppose he has never known a hard word or a blow since he was foaled, and in all his pleasure seems to be to do what you wish. But the chestnut, I fancy, must have had bad treatment. We heard as much from the dealer. She came to us snappish and suspicious, but when she found out what sort of place ours was, it all went off by degrees. For 3 years, I have never seen the smallest sign of temper, and if she is well treated, there's not a better, more willing animal than she is. But she is naturally more irritable constitution than the black horse. Flies tease her more, anything wrong in the harness frets her more, and if she were ill-used or unfairly treated, she would not be unlikely to give tit for tat. You know that many a high-mettled horse will do so." "Of course," said York, "I quite understand, but you know it's not easy in stables like these to have all the grooms just what they should be. I do my best, and there I must leave it. I'll remember what you've said about the mare." They were going out of the stable when John stopped and said, "I had better mention that we have never used the bearing rein with either of them. The black horse never had one on, and the dealer said that it was the gag bit that spoiled the other's temper. Well, said York, if they come here, they must wear the bearing rein. I prefer a loose rein myself, and his lordship is always very reasonable about horses. But my lady, that's another thing. She will have style, and if her carriage horses are not reined up tight, she wouldn't look at them. I always stand out against the gag bit and shall do so, but it must be tight when my lady rides. I'm so sorry for it, very sorry, but I must go now or I shall lose the train. He came round to each of us to pat and speak to us for the last time, and his voice sounded very sad. I held my face close to him. That was all I could do to say goodbye, and then he was gone, and I have never seen him since. The next day, Lord W. came to look at us and seemed very pleased with our appearance. I have great confidence in these horses, he said. From the character of my friend Mr. Gordon, he's given me them. Of course, they are not a match in color, but my idea is that they will do very well in the carriage whilst we are in the country. Before we go to London, I must try to match Baron. The black horse, I believe, is perfect for riding. York then told him what John had said about us. Well, he said, you must keep an eye to the mare and put the bearing rein easy. I dare say that it will do very well with a little humoring at first, and I'll mention it to her ladyship. In the afternoon, we were harnessed and put into the carriage, and as the stable clock struck three, we were led around to the front of the house. It was all very grand and three or four times as large as the old house at Berwick, but not half so pleasant, if a horse may have an opinion. Two footmen were standing ready, dressed in drab livery with scarlet breeches and white stockings. Presently, we heard the ruffling sound of silk as my lady came down the flight of stone steps. She stepped round to look at us. She was a tall, proud-looking woman and did not seem pleased about something, but she said nothing and got into the carriage. This was the first time of wearing a bearing rein, I must say, though it certainly was a nuisance. Not able to get my head down now and then, it did not pull my head higher than I was accustomed to carry it. I felt anxious about Ginger, but she seemed to be quiet and content. The next day at 3 o'clock, we were again at the door, and the footman came as before, and we heard the silk dress rustle. The lady came down the steps, and in an impetuous voice, she said, York, you must put those horses' heads higher. They are not fit to be seen. York got down and said very respectfully, I beg your pardon, my lady, but these horses have not been reined up for 3 years, and my lord said it would be safer to bring them to it by degrees, but if your ladyship pleases, I can take them up a little more. Do so, she said. York came round our heads and shortened the rein himself one hole, I think. Every little makes a difference, though, be it for better or worse. And that day we had a steep hill to go up. Then I began to understand what I had heard of. Of course, I wanted to put my head forward to take the carriage up with a will, as we had been used to doing. But no, I had to pull with my head up now, and that took all the spirit out of me, and the strain came on my back and my legs. When we came in, Ginger said, now you see what it is like, but this is not bad, and if it does not get much worse than this, I shall say nothing about it, for we are very well treated here. But if they strain me up tight, well, let them look out. I can't bear it, and I won't. Day by day, hole by hole, our bearing reins were shortened, and instead of looking forward with pleasure to having my harness put on as I was used to do, I began to dread it. Ginger, too, seemed restless, although she said very little. At last, I had thought the worst was over. For several days, there was no more shortening, and I was determined to make the best of it and do my duty, though it was now a constant harass instead of a pleasure. But the worst was not come. Up tomorrow, Chapter 23, A Strike for Liberty. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can I say that Aubrey Miller has posted in relation to our conversation earlier in the day about Rhonda Crabtree, who's listened to every show on the Horse Radio Network. Aubrey, our faithful listener, who we've had on this show before, says, oh, I have listened to every show too. Some a couple of times. The only ones I've missed are some of the Horse Tip Dailies, especially since they are repeats of the other shows, because we use some repeats from the other shows, so those don't count. She says, don't need a life, though, just clean lots of stalls and have something to listen to. So thank you, Aubrey.
Amen.
We do appreciate you. And, you know, I'm not complaining. I love anybody who's listening to all the shows. That's just terrific. But looks like we have two now that we know that have listened to all the shows.
That's awesome. We do appreciate it. And there are now officially two people in the club.
That's right.
Rhonda, your meetings, one of you will have to be president. One of you will have to be vice president. You'll have
to work
it out amongst yourselves. Take a vote.
We're going to have to find a secretary for you at some point. At some point we'll find a secretary. And again, I haven't listened to all the shows, so I can't even be the secretary.
We can't even be in the club. Mm. So I haven't even listened to any of our shows. I don't even pay attention.
You know, it was so cute. You remember how we had Abby on yesterday? And we were trying to get her votes, and she has gotten a lot of votes, Abby Good, and we want to remind everybody to go vote for her. Just look at our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and you'll find the link. But she said,
It's easy. You don't have to sign up for anything. You just click her name, and please do it, because I said we were going to crush the competition, and we are not even close to that yet. I'm disappointed.
I know. We need help. So go do it. And she said, I sent her the link, and I said, if you want to share this with your friends or if you want to listen again, and she wrote that she couldn't listen again, she just can't do it. So she's the same way as you are. She just can't listen back to herself. She just couldn't do it.
No, I can't hear myself at all, because then I pick myself apart and I get self-conscious. So I understand, girl. I know what you're saying.
You know, I think you should really listen back to the first part of the show with Michelle, because I think you would feel self-conscious and you would be very embarrassed and sad that you treated me that way.
I feel so sorry for you. I really do. When are you going to send me my paycheck? Because I think it's late now.
Hey, I have two quick things. One is I have two quick stories here that are kind of fun. There was an endurance race, a 100-mile endurance race in Poland, and they were coming toward the end of the endurance race, and this particular rider, whose name, Hygo, was doing pretty well and came out of the woods, and a doe emerged from the forest right in the way, and they collided. And the rider went, like, head over tea kettles, and the horse fell down. You know, you hear about this you see it with cars all the time. I've never quite heard it with a horse before. So they collided head on, apparently. And he got back up, got back on the horse, and ended up finishing third in the race. And his comment was, thank God it was a female and didn't have a rack. Because remember, the doe probably put his head down and would have impaled the horse. So that was a bizarre story out of Poland.
I got to ask you questions about this, couple questions. First of all, what was the guy's full name that was in this race in Poland?
His name was Hygo. I can't find it. Hygo Rautla.
In the last line, what was the guy's name that won?
His name was... Well, they call him MP for short.
Do you want me to do these names?
Oh, the guy that won. Oh, yeah, that's even worse than the guy that came in second place. Yeah, go ahead.
The Estonian equestrian who ran into the deer was Hygo Rautla, and then the Polish rider who won was Krzysztof Zarnota and his horse Wined, and then the second place finisher was Magdalena Perkalova. Dang, I'm good!
Look totally at you.
That could be totally wrong. I have no idea. I just like saying names like that.
Look at you go. And then there was we've had it tons of times. You're out in the field or you're at your farm, and you see a glider go over. We used to have gliders in Pennsylvania and also hot air balloons and things. Well, they were having a glider competition in Pennsylvania near New Hope, which is actually Deer Park, Pennsylvania. Isn't that ironic that this next story talking about deer, too? Deer Park, Pennsylvania, and it was New Hope Farms. They were watching the glider go overhead. Well, apparently the glider lost his air and decided that he needed to land in one of New Hope's equestrian park's fields, and he got it on the ground, and the glider didn't stop, and he went through two of the horse fences before it finally came to a stop. So they took him off to the hospital. He's going to be okay, but the horse fences are pretty much demolished. And you see the picture there. You realize how hard he hit that fence.
Okay, so this was in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it was in Pennsylvania, yep.
Did he get stepped on by any horse hooves?
It doesn't say anything about the hooves, but the fences did not do too well.
Oh my God, you've already forgotten about the beginning of the show. You said everybody in Pennsylvania says hooves, and it's hooves. Hooves.
It's hooves. No, they say hooves there. Yeah.
Never mind. I'm sure somebody got my joke.
not funny today.
Let's
I'm terrible today.
You're fine today. You did good. All right. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network and horseradionetwork.com. The Western Show has out for the week, and they talked all about – they had some patriotic rodeo guys on. So one of them was a patriotic clown who – get this. He's a patriotic clown who serves – who's at rodeos and is also a senator. So there you go, a clown who's also a senator. You
awesome.
Can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning, and we're on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you miss the live show, you can listen to the recorded. Boomer is under my computer. Don't eat the cords. Puppies are fun. If you miss the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, download them from iTunes. Tomorrow we're going to do a little thing called 14 Fun Things to Do with Your Horse This Summer. We are going to get to it. And, you know, it can be a little bit tedious and boring in the summer. Well, summer's here, and you might as well get out and enjoy it. So we will talk to you tomorrow. Everybody, please spay, neuter, and geld your ponies. Have a great day. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Well, and the other thing that's coming up tomorrow, too, is your critique of my interview of Buck tomorrow. Plus, plus, we have the director of the movie Buck, Cindy, will be with us tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So
you
we're looking forward to talking to her, too.
You should probably tell me these things ahead of time. When, so, you know, I actually say that at the end of the show, but whatever.
Bye, Jamie. Bye, everybody.
Bye.